The scriptures this morning are Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 7, and Mark 1, 4 through 11. Now, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior, and he arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples, and he asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No. We have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" And they replied, "John's baptism." Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance, and he told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues, and they prophesied, and there were about 12 men in all. Then from Mark 1, 4 through 11, "And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. They would confess their sins, and they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And that was his message. After me comes one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandal I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." All right, test time. Are you ready for a test? Let's see how ready you are this morning, okay? I'm going to pick on Becky first, okay? Give you all a little chance to be thinking. Becky, tell me about your baptism experience.
Which one?
Aha.
That's what I was thinking.
Good, all right. I'm glad you said that. Your first baptism experience.
My first baptism experience, I was 12 years old. I went through the lessons with the pastor and was baptized at camp with everybody else. The second time, and I can't say the first time that I was honestly saved, that I really had accepted Jesus as my Savior. By word, yes. I had the head knowledge, but not the heart knowledge. The second time I was baptized was actually just a few years ago. In 2010, I think it was. And I did it because I felt like my life had been out of order. I tell people I was baptized at 12, saved at 16, and filled with the Holy Spirit at 21. And I should have been saved, then baptized, and filled with the Holy Spirit. So I did it the second time to get my life in order, because I was out of order. And it was one of the most glorious experiences of my life. And I just felt the Holy Spirit all over the place in that river. It was down at Camp Joy.
All right. Did you hear that, though? She had more than one baptism, okay? So we're going to really zero in on that as we move along, okay? So thank you for sharing that. Let's see. Johnny, you've been baptized, right?
Too many times.
Okay. I want you to think back to the very first time you were baptized. What did you think you were doing?
I didn't know what I was doing. I just want to say experience. I remember a woman named Dorothy from Newark, Ohio. She asked me that I want to be baptized. at that time, and my first wife was with me, and I said yes. And I remember when she baptized me, she put me down in this tub. They started spraying water on me. Next thing I know, she told me to start saying the words, and next thing I know, I felt this heat that was coming in. And so when I got out of that baptism, I just started crying. My eyes started filling each other and started crying. Got home that night, it was a living hell because I felt the spirit, but it wasn't the right spirit. I felt there was a spirit that was present in the room, and I felt that the baptism wasn't right. So I kept searching, I kept going through these different baptisms, and I said, finally, I said, Lord, I'm going to be baptized on the Sabbath day. That would make it right. Because me, when I got baptized on the other days or baptism through other people, I figured that Sunday was just another day to me. So to make it right with Jesus, I decided to get baptized through this church here. And I felt a whole different spirit. My life changed, everything changed. And so I won't change it for nothing in the world.
Okay. Again, baptized more than once. All right. Who's been baptized only once? Okay. Betty, how old were you when you were baptized?
I was 10 years old. I was baptized in the church that I grew up in with my parents. And me and a friend of mine were just sitting there in church, and we decided that we would go up and get baptized. I haven't seen her in, I don't know, at least 30 years, 35 years. I was 10 and she was 12.
Okay. And when you decided to do that, what did you think you were doing? What was the purpose of being baptized?
The words were that the preacher was baptizing us for the remission of sin. So I guess that's what I thought. And, you know, I was just going to be a good person and a good Christian. And, you know, at 10 years old,
mm-hmm.
a lot of things have happened since then.
But that's what you understood that baptism was for the remission of sin. Thank you. You all are just doing perfectly, okay? Because this is part of what I want us to understand, and this falls right in line with the scripture that we read this morning. Anyone else want to share about their baptism experience? Okay, Linda?
I was 8 or 9, and I asked my father for baptism, and Dad said, no, I wasn't old enough. Somehow or other, the deacons became involved, and they overruled him. My understanding was that I was professing to my friends that I accepted Christ and my life, and that this was an outward expression. At the time I was baptized,
you want me to talk? No, go right ahead.
Because I know I was running crazy, but I felt as though I didn't know and moved.
I don't know how many of you are aware, Linda was clinically dead for a short time. They were able to bring her back, and it was after that experience that she again felt the arms of God enveloping her. So that's one of those experiences where when we cry out to our Heavenly Father, He responds with what we need. So hallelujah for that. I know that Dad gave us baptism classes. Do you remember anything about them?
here, so strangely, about the relationship with God and the forgiveness and walking with Him, as well as the church membership part of it, responsibilities and commitment to the body.
Okay. That's what I wanted you to do, kind of give us an overview. Now, let me share with those of you who have had children baptized in our church, because you may not have known exactly what the pastor's class involved in our church. Johnny being adult, I didn't take him through the pastor's class, and maybe I should have, because one of the things that I want us to recognize is that there sometimes we are baptized with John's baptism, which is baptism for repentance. Now, let's talk a little bit about the symbolism of that when we talk about the baptistry. Let's talk about that symbolism. As I talked with the children as when they were going under the water, it was symbolizing them being buried to their old self, to the sinful self, and that they were being raised to a new life in Christ, where Christ came in and indwelt them. And that's the symbolism, dying to the one and then being raised to a new life. And so that was part of it. But I also wanted them to understand the aspect of the Holy Spirit. If you remember in the scripture that this group of people that Paul went to talk to at Ephesus, they didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. They had been taught about the repentance aspect. Okay? So they had one aspect of the baptism. They went ahead and had that baptism. But Paul said, no, there's more. You need to add to that. So they, to add to that, were baptized again in the name of Jesus, because they didn't even know that He was the Savior, the Messiah. They were recognizing that they needed repentance. Now, I want you to think back to the Jewish way of things. I know it's hard for us because we didn't grow up with that understanding. We've never practiced that. The Jewish understanding was that you took a sacrifice for your sin. You took it to the temple. The priest offered that sacrifice for you on your behalf, and your sins were forgiven. But it had to be constantly done because we always fell short of the glory of God. So it was an ongoing thing. So why was it that the people of Israel recognized that they needed to go to John? John was talking about a heart condition and not a bad heart condition. John was talking about a heart condition where God says, I'm going to look at man's heart. The people of Israel had gotten tied up in the religion. Okay, it's the Sabbath, I need to go to the temple. It's Passover, I need to go to the temple. I make my offerings. But all they had to do was make their offering, then go back and live their life just the same way they were living it. It didn't change them. And that's where the people recognized John's baptism was different. Because repentance actually means where you change your whole direction. They recognized that John was saying there's a different life. And so they went to him to be baptized for the repentance of sins. But they understood what repentance meant, a change in life. And it wasn't just a religious exercise to go and offer the sacrifices over and over. They recognized that repentance truly was turning your back on one and turning to another. So John had a repentance that people were embracing. When Jesus came, and if you remember in the scripture, it talked about how all of a sudden Jesus' disciples were baptizing more than John's, and John's disciples were a little bit upset about it. There was a little bit of jealousy because they were having a struggle. And John said, now look, to his disciples, Jesus is the Messiah. And when they came and asked Jesus about it, he said, look at the works and what's going on. And they could see that he was the Messiah. Now, The very first lesson, though, that I taught in baptism class was the lesson about the Nicodemus coming and how Jesus said to him, "You must be born again." It's a spirit thing. You must be born again. Now, I know we're a Baptist church, and so we don't usually use some of these terms. And so today's sermon is actually titled, Two Baptisms. Because sometimes we have not understood that the first baptism was a baptism where the Holy Spirit came and started indwelling and fulfilling our life. So sometimes it takes two baptisms. I think sometimes it takes more than two baptisms. Right? Because we grow. I have tried with our young people as they grew up to make sure that they understood that there are two aspects to baptism. That being raised to a new life is being raised to a life controlled by the Holy Spirit. One that is going to allow the Holy Spirit to do His work. Now, I've told you before, one of the main struggles that we face is fear. God said, "I did not give you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of a sound mind." Why did He need to address that? Because you and I are people. Shirley, do you sometimes wonder if someone's going to like what you say? How many of you have been there? I think we all probably have. Why? Because we care. I want Johnny to think I'm a pretty good fella. I got him fooled. All right. So, that's why we're afraid. Because we're afraid to do things that are different. But I'm telling you, as a Christian, we are supposed to be peculiar people. Oh, let's get excited about that. I have to tell you, I get fearful about that sometimes. I like people to like what I'm saying and what I'm doing. And I have to struggle with that. And I have to remind myself that that didn't come from God. Because He said He did not give me a spirit of fear. And I have to remember that I have to do what I believe God wants me to do. And I have to do what is in His Word. And now, we could go, because certain churches have gone, and I'm not going to take too much longer, and said, okay, there is a second baptism that you must have, and it must be done thus and so. I do not believe that. I believe that as we grow, those things happen and change in our lives. I don't believe that everyone who receives the Holy Spirit has to all of a sudden speak in tongues. However, I do also believe that many times God wants us to speak in tongues. God wants us to prophesy. In fact, Paul said, "I wish that everyone would prophesy." And we're afraid. We're afraid to embrace the Holy Spirit. We're afraid to step out in that. Now, this is part of the thing, because sometimes maybe I haven't taught all that I need to teach. And that is the fact that God minister in many different ways, and then there are some rules that you and I have to stop and only speak the words God gave us. Because sometimes we take that thought that God gave us, and then we start trying to make it a practical application to someone else. He didn't give us that. He gave us this word. It's up to the Holy Spirit then to touch the individual that was spoken for, and I probably don't even know who it was spoken for, and to take it and move in their life. Not for me to now lay out that practical application, because sometimes I then turn the Word of God to a way that it wasn't even meant. So we have to learn that when we receive from God, to only give what we receive from God.
Amen.
This morning, Kim started us out saying, let's have a new adventure this year. Guys, I want a new adventure for all of us. I want us to be willing to hear the Holy Spirit and to speak. I want us to learn how to not change the focus of that and how we can move in what He wants. Now, I'm not expecting you all to jump up and start speaking in tongues. But what I am expecting is for you to say, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, I want your baptism as well. Baptize me and make me ready to receive whatever it is. The scripture also tells us that he will give to each person whatever is needed for that time. So get it out of your head that just because you speak in tongues one time, you're going to speak in tongues every other time. Because the Lord doesn't work that way. He says, I'm going to give you what you need at that time. So your gifts are not going to stay the same. You see, when we first went through this understanding, we took this test that said what we were probably gifted in. I no longer see that as scriptural. Yes, it helps us to see some of the things God has used us in, but it's limiting in that we then become complacent and said, okay, God gave me the gift of teaching, that's all I have to ever worry about. Guys, sometimes you're not going to be in a situation of teaching and you're going to need to be ruled by the Holy Spirit and do something else. So I challenge you, if you don't agree with me, get in your word of the Bible and see if I'm mistaken. I believe I'm not. So I want you to simply start digging, saying, God, I want more. I want more. Because I recognize you are God Almighty, far beyond anything I can comprehend, and I don't have to comprehend everything. I have no idea how the Spirit gets in there and does His work, and I have this word. I just know it's there. Pray for your pastor that he will have the gift of prophecy over and over. And remember, prophecy is speaking God's word. It is not necessarily a future tense at all. Pray that your pastor also has all the gifts he needs to equip the saints. If you read what it says about the pastor, his job is to equip the saints. Guess who's the saints? Every single one sitting here is the saints. Saint, we get this misnomer. We think, we'll say something like, well, that person's a real saint because they've lived a good life or something. But yes, they are a real saint. But you are a real saint if you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You are a real saint. And you've got a lot of growing to do. I've got a lot of growing to do. Let's get excited about the adventure. Let's have those unexpected adventures. Let's have those God moments in time where He puts us in a particular place, whether it's in a grocery store, and you don't know when that time is. Just this week, I had two examples of where God just wanted me to be involved. I don't know why. Maybe just to protect someone. This one young lady had been walking when the weather had turned so freezing cold. She'd walked all the way from south of Main Street all the way up to where up Graham Road, up Wagner. She'd walked over a mile already in the freezing cold, no hat. She was going another 2 miles north. And the Lord just said, ask her where she's going. And so Lana rolled down her window and said, how far are you going? And so we picked that lady up. We were dropping Lana off at Meijer to go get some Crystal Light because we live on Crystal Light. Anyway, so we get up there and we get out, Lana starts to get out of the car and this man fell down on the ice. And he was even older than I, okay? I don't know how old. Then he tried to get up. Yeah, oh, that old. He tried to get up and he went down again. And so I just pulled over in front there and parked, and this other lady had gotten out of her car and we're trying to hold this man and get him in because it was just black ice. And, you know, we're kind of all sliding and skating together. I don't know why I was there. God put me there at that time. Originally, we were going to drive up and drop that girl off. If I hadn't been there at that time, if Lana hadn't said, let's go and drop me and I can get it while you all go do that, then I wouldn't have been there those times. I don't know whether he would have gotten hurt worse if I hadn't got there. I don't know. But God put me there for those times. God will use us. He'll put us there for those times. We just have to be ready. And be ready when He gives us an open door to speak about Him. So, anyway, I'm going to wind down. Two baptisms. Hallelujah. I'm ready. I hope you're ready. Let's get full of the Holy Spirit. Let's let His Word change our lives. Let's get on the adventure this year. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank You for this time today. Thank You for Your Word. May we truly be conformed to Your living Word, Lord. Let Your love rule in our hearts and let Your will become ours. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.